I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
On Pilot TV this week, we're heading off for an island summer in YA novel adaptation We Were Liars on Prime, dabbling in narcotics distribution in Pushers on Channel 4, and making our debut in High Society with Outrageous on You and Drama. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to Pilot TV, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that is coming your way very soon. For we are, guys, doing a live show. Kay will be there. Boyd will be there. I will be there. I'm sorry, but I will. And we're coming to King's Place, aren't we? On Friday, the 8th of August.
Have I actually officially committed to this?
Boyd may or may not be there.
I haven't signed anything.
Kay might have plans.
I only found out about it yesterday.
Yeah. So it could just be me. Just me on stage.
James playing his guitar.
Talking about the time I got tickets to Taylor Swift for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's why I'll be absent.
Yeah. It's going to be epic.
It will be good. It will be fun. Like, listen, I think the bottom line is, please, some of you come, because otherwise it will just be me and James and Boyd wanging on stage. And while it's good for us to get an airing outside of the studio, because that's what we do every week, just wang on in a hermetically sealed room, it would be nice to do it out in the open a bit more, but for some of you to come.
Out in the open a bit more?
Yes, I mean, not in a hermetically sealed room.
We're not playing Hyde Park.
Yeah.
What do you think? This room is so small. It would be nice to go into a bigger arena.
Oh my God. I can't believe what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's like an arena, literally. I'm just saying it would be nice to, do it somewhere a bit more spacious.
It would be nice to have people seeing that. Yeah, if not enough people sign up to get these tickets, I'm not taking part, I'm telling you now.
Oh, yeah. Do you think I'm going to take part if there's just four people?
James, it would just be James interviewing himself like Alan Partridge did.
Staging a quiz about myself to myself.
Yeah. And then with various chats with yourself about various TV shows with yourself.
And then patting yourself on the back when you got the questions
but
right.
But I do like to do that. I'd be like, does that mean I like it? No, it does not. I could do my rhetorical. Yeah, it'd be great.
You're going to get lots of diehards coming. To that, I think.
You think? Yeah, I think you might get more of an audience. Just you, solo.
A one-man show. Yeah. Pilot TV, The Soliloquy.
This could be your future. You do a segment on The Expanse, you do a segment on C, you do a segment on the show we can't mention because you talk about it every week.
These are the TV shows of my life with James Dyer.
He's going to do it. I think you're talking yourself into it.
On Pilot Plus, we were talking about what kind of franchises, what can we do?
This is gold.
And I actually think you found it, It's you being Partridge.
Me being accidental Partridge. Yeah. That's
letting out your inner Partridge.
I'm down for this. I think
there we go. Oh, I mean, thankfully, that means we don't have to go.
Should we go out for dinner or something?
Yeah.
Go to the theatre.
Yeah.
All right, so just me then. August the 9th. Did I say 9th? I can't even remember. 8th. Did I say the 8th? I should probably.
If you don't know, then no one
I
does.
This is so shambolic. I should probably check and make sure.
It is the 8th.
It is the 8th. So Friday the 8th.
You know what?
Of August.
I'm going to put an advert for it in here. I'm going to put a little box about it.
Good.
Yeah.
So you should.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, come and see us live.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't know who will be there. We don't know what we're going to do.
No.
But it will be great in some form.
We have had suggestions. One suggestion, because you talked about it yesterday on the pod, and you were like, what should we do? And someone got in touch, and they said, it was Beth Cave, and she said, in the vein of live show suggestions, perhaps a Would I Lie to You style round, where each of you bring an object or a story, and the other two have to guess whether it's true or
that's
a lie.
That's a good idea.
I said it's brilliant.
You know, I love Would I Lie to You, so
that's why I replied to her. I said, listen, it's a really good
idea. Done.
I said, I'm terrible at acting, but this is really good. Yes. A boy loves the show.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm terrible at lying.
I'm awful at lying.
You'll be fine.
And the worst thing is also, I'm terrible at lying anyway, because I tend to smile. And then also the other thing is that Boyd has known me for so long, he literally knows what I'm thinking.
Well, probably also knows all your stories, so...
Yeah, he does.
We'll just know.
He knows where the bodies
anyway.
Are buried, but...
Yeah.
I'll just have to look away from him.
You'll find something.
Or maybe I have a witness protection screen in front of me so you can't actually see my face when I'm talking. Because you read my face, but actually
I think... Well, you could wear shades just for that bit.
Yeah, maybe. Or just like a...
Like
yeah.
really big, you know, big sunglasses.
Like
so
Joe
Kane
Collins.
Will be wearing some kind of disguise. We've established that. Look, this is look, this is gold. If you don't buy tickets, you're mad. And you can get tickets at... Deep breath. kingsplace.co.uk/what's-on/word/pilot-tv-live-episode-350 or just Google Pilot TV episode 350.
It's like you're,
King's Place.
It's like you're trying to stop people from coming with
I know.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Would Pilot lie to you?
Would Pilot lie to you? Oh, my God.
Listen, we're crediting Beth Cave for that because that's her idea.
Is Beth Cave a real person or is it a combination of Beth from Empire and Lucy Cave from formerly of Heat, etc.?
That would be good, but it's actually Elizabeth Cave. Yeah. So thank you, Elizabeth. Please say you're coming because you've got to take credit in person for this fantastic franchise.
Speaking of Beths, I set some homework last week for our listeners that they were to all watch Beth and feedback on what they thought about Beth. And as the mistress of the postbag, I'm wondering if we had any.
Well, do you know what we didn't yesterday when you asked me and I was like, oh no, we don't have anything. But today someone has emailed in.
People have not, the dog ate their homework clearly.
Yes.
They just didn't do it.
John Neal, though, he was very studious and did it. And he said, hello, awesome pod team. I've been a listener and subscriber since the beginning and really appreciate all that you do. I watched Beth last night as requested. And I think it is sci-fi because the development, inverted commas, is something extraordinary that hasn't happened in real life as far as we know. But it's only just a sci-fi and the development surely doesn't ruin it for anyone who isn't a fan of the genre. Just my view. I'm keen to find out what Kay thinks. While I'm here, thank you, James, for... Oh, so thank you. Shall I read it out?
I'm so sorry. Please continue.
Oh, God, it's like getting stuck in my throat. Thank you, James, for the outstanding spoiler specials on Andor. They augmented what was already an amazing experience watching the show of the year. I was able to look forward to listening to the team as much as watching the episodes each week. Award-worthy in their own right.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Lovely.
And then we enjoyed doing them.
John ends with, best wishes and come on, you Spurs. Just for Boyd.
Wow.
Oh dear. I mean, let the slide down there.
Could we just also say, while we're talking about it, so two things I actually want to say. The first I want to say is, if you listen to Pilot Plus, you will know that Kay has been ill. I'm quite enjoying the husky, sexy vibes to your voice today.
Honestly, I could not stop coughing during the record yesterday. I thought they were going to kill me. They were very patient with me because I kept on having to say, I've got to stop because I'm going to cough my guts up. But yeah, sorry. I've got the lurgy. Boyd's got the lurgy as well. James is...
I mean,
together.
It's almost certainly good. Yeah, but it's good. Yeah. I like it. It's like having Vin Diesel in the studio. Anyway, you've seen Beth. You have seen Beth. You watched it.
Yes.
Unbidden, knowing it was a sci-fi. I'm unsure why, but I want to hear your take on it because we had a spirited discussion with Steph on this
very
topic.
Well, yes, I have heard about that.
The discussion which you bullied her.
Yes.
We should say, I did no such thing. However, it was mentioned on the YouTube that someone thought that I was harsh to Steph.
All
to which I think
say,
Steph responded... I've known him for 22 years. He's an idiot. I just ignore him.
It's fine. All I would say is Steph got the K treatment that week. And we all found out. Anyway, but no, the reason... First of all, I didn't know it was sci-fi before I watched it, but also I was reviewing it for publication.
Yeah,
so that's why I watched it. And I have to say, like, Steph and I are similar in our, you know, dislike of sci-fi when we did Basic Binges. What she used to call it? She used to have a name for it and she used to get really angry. Dystopian stuff. She
has
hated.
A thing against dystopian sci-fi.
Yeah. And she'd get really angry.
Ridiculous.
No, it made me laugh a lot. Anyway, so we're usually very similar in that regard.
But she loves Star Wars and stuff like Marvel and things. So she, like, some of the Empire nerdiness has rubbed off on her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she worked there for so many years, of course. Anyway, so I watched it and I actually liked it. I liked the twist at the end. I thought, because I was just like, my mind was sort of blown because I was like, what is this? Thinking that it's a made up thing. And then I was furiously Googling. I was like, oh my God, what? And so, yeah, it didn't put me off. In fact, I thought it was a really good twist.
Good. Great. Yeah. And this is something that we didn't bring up when we talked about it. Do you know why it's called Beth? Which I'm still entirely unclear about, given that there is no character, to the best of my knowledge, in the show called Beth.
Well, it may be coming up. We don't know.
There's only one episode.
It's only a one-off. Yeah. It's a one and done.
Ah.
Well, we had this discussion on the podcast.
Yeah,
we tell you that,
I explained this,
it's a one and done.
Did you watch the version that was on Ready to Air, which is the portal?
Yes.
That, so basically, it was three online, like YouTube or whatever, episodes stitched together into one. So the one they aired on actual TV on Channel 4's linear channel, if you like, last Monday, I believe, was the whole thing, but in one 35, 40 minute.
We can't talk about it. It would be a spoiler, but when we get off air, I need you to tell me how it ended, because I wonder if I've only watched Like,
No, you've seen the whole thing. If you know the thing
that happens that we can't
spoil, then you've
watched it. You've seen
it. I like the fact that it was because I wrote it in my, don't worry. Yeah, it was a Channel 4 original for online, right? Yeah.
I like the idea of you kind of tuning in at 10 o'clock Monday for episode 2 and being greeted by somebody.
Yeah, you'd be like, I don't understand. Where's Beth? I'm waiting to meet Beth.
Yeah. Listen, an absolute compliment to the writers because I want to know more.
Yeah.
I want it to continue.
Maybe now. We got some communication from the producers of the show. I did anyway, and thanking us. And they put a story up on Insta of us discussing it. So they're really grateful. They seem really grateful about that we covered it and we liked it. At least two of us really liked it, and three, including you, of course. Now, so yeah, I'm sure they'd be thrilled. And
well, write another series. Then,
yeah, so maybe they'll do a sequel. That's what I was getting around. So yes, maybe they will do another episode.
Or at the very least, get in touch and let us know why it's called Beth.
Yeah, I really like
that. That's a good. That was yes. That is the central point. Why is it called Beth? It's not the name of the. It's not the name of the baby.
Nope.
Yeah, that is. That's weird. And I've seen it in various places, all capitalised.
Yes.
Then I had a look.
Is it an acronym?
But then I had another look at another coverage of it. It wasn't. It wasn't all capitalised.
Confuzzling.
So the whole thing is.
All right,
confuzzling.
We really do need the producer to get in touch.
Yeah,
yeah.
About that.
Send an email to the postbag, please.
Yes, let us know. Please inform Kay why it's called Beth. Right. Okay. What else have we been watching other than Beth? Kay, you've had some time off. You must have been watching. Oh, she's shaking her head. Have you been avoiding television during the time off?
No. The reason why I'm shaking my head is that I've actually watched a lot and I meant to write a list and I haven't. And now my brain is just...
Oh, I see.
Okay.
So you need me to play for time.
Yes.
Right. Boyd, what have you been watching this week?
I mean, just fundamental laziness. I've watched, all, as I believe you have as well, I know you have because we discussed it a bit on Pilot Plus, Department Q.
Yes.
The, as it turns out, absolutely brilliant Netflix crime drama, detective drama, murder mystery, police procedural, call it what you will. I absolutely loved it. I think, I mean, we reviewed it and I think we already liked it, didn't we?
We did all like it, yes, very much so.
Quite rightly. But the more you get into it, the more... the further you get into it, the more excellent it is, I think. And what struck me is that I think this is the first, and you may, listeners may disagree or contradict me or find an exception. I believe this is the first time Netflix has done a possible returning detective drama like this, because this is based on a series of 10 books by a Danish writer, and I guarantee, I mean, it's become a word of mouth hit. Everyone's talking about it in the office. I think it's doing really well in the Netflix chart, maybe number one in the UK already, and it's absolutely superb. So there's 9 more books to go, but I don't think they've had a returning detective drama of that kind.
Wasn't Young Wallander was Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did that get a second season? I don't believe it did.
But I think it was designed to, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't.
No, it didn't. Return. So you get by on extending.
So I think I'm sure this will be recommissioned for at least a second series. It's when you think of everything else that Netflix has achieved and done and all, but they don't tend to go for this kind of thing until now.
No, it's true. It's true.
And it's real. They've got themselves a real Rolls Royce of a detective drama, I think, on their hands. And because you've got the characters are fascinating and
Akram.
Three-dimensional. Oh, I am Akram. Is brilliant. The main guy is fantastic.
Matthew Good.
Thank you. Matthew Good. In the best role of his career, I think.
He's really, really good.
He's an absolute revelation.
I mean, it's no Matthew de Clermont from A Discovery of Witches, but he's very good.
I thought you were going to choose the Downton Abbey role.
That's true.
James likes Downton and A Discovery of Witches.
I love all of it.
Yeah, one of the few people out there who does.
Hey.
Yeah, story. But it's just really... So you've got the characters really interesting.
Yeah.
The central detective, who's horrible to everyone and yet is really entertaining to hang out with, so to speak. That all works brilliantly. Even like the I really like Leah Byrne, who plays the other Department Q colleague, Dr. DC Rose Dixon, who she arrives on the scene more in episode 2 and 3 and she gets her own task to do, if you like. But it's still treated with absolute disdain by Matthew Good's character. But she's fantastic as well, and Kelly MacDonald, his shrink, is an absolute star. I love the whole thing. Kate Dick is his boss. Kate Dick is always brilliant. But the central mystery, well, there's two mysteries as well. So there's the mystery of what happens in the very first episode when this cop gets shot which is horrible, which he's dealing with, like PTSD situation. So there's that. But the main mystery of which was spoiled in a rival podcast only the other day, which we won't spoil here if you haven't started watching it yet, which reveals itself at the end of episode one, that I thought was so clever and so gripping and unusual and smartly kind of constructed, which you realise when you get to the end. I thought it was fantastic. So if the rest of the novels that this guy's written are anywhere near in terms of the central mysteries as good as that, then I'm fully on board. So I think Department Q is drive.
It's absolutely storming. In fact, we are going to do a kind of impromptu Department Q spoiler special on this week's Pilot Plus.
So I'll stop banging on about it now.
But I agree with you 100%. Like it's on my shows of the year list, which frankly we'll be revealing very soon because it's nearly that time. Our half year review, I should say, not the whole year.
So half year punch up.
That's right. Although we aren't having a punch up this year because we're not even... far away are we all, I think, in polarity on what we like this year. We're not even going to attempt to do a unified list because we die. So we're going to do three separate lists. Your one, my one.
We can't die before the live.
Maybe that's what the live show is. We fight it out.
Oh my God, that could be a franchise.
Three podcasters enter, one podcast leaves, and whoever survives...
And it's going to be me.
It's their list that endures.
I think that would work, yeah. Still got to Would I Lie to You, though?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like I knew... Do you know what I said to Beth? Boyd is going to love this.
It's very good. Other stuff that I also finished, What It Feels Like for a Girl, which we also reviewed, and that is another outstanding... That is like so much better than I ever thought it would be.
I haven't watched
That's the thing about... Oh, you've got to watch it. It's really harsh. It's fully out there, no holds barred, unflinching, all those words you want to use for a show dealing with grooming and sexual exploitation and sexuality and gender, all of those things. But it's so focused on the characters and just showing you what they go through without judgment. Particularly, and without kind of saying, isn't this all dreadful? Stuff just happens, and they have these experiences, and then they kind of sit back and go, this isn't great. I'm simplifying it, but it's just really surprisingly, it's ultra gripping, really well plotted, and it's based on Paris Lee's memoir, but it's kind of fictionalized to the extent that it works so well as a TV drama. It's fantastic. It reminds me of early Russell T. Davis in a way, you know, going back to Queer as Folk in 1999. Different style. His style is slightly more kind of, shall we say, heightened. This feels like gritty and real and all of that, but really, has moments of poetry as well. It's fantastic. I think it's also become a bit of word of mouth phenomenon as well. I think BBC3/BBC1 probably weren't expecting to have this much of a...
It's like Just Act Normal again.
Yeah, it is a bit like that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We love Just Act Normal, yeah. I've been watching two more things. I've been watching... Because the film... I went to see the film The Ballad of Thingy Island.
Wallace Island,
which I'd already seen. I saw it in a preview.
I'm so excited to see that and I haven't seen it.
Have you not seen it?
Oh my God.
Now seen it twice. Mm.
And you've seen something that James hasn't seen?
It's a film, by the way.
It's a film.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
We should be celebrating that a lot more.
It's a one-off theatrical cinema-based drama.
Yeah, it is. Well, we'll get to that later, by the way. I've got some news on that issue. The Ballad of Wallace Island is so brilliant and incredibly enjoyable and entertaining. But it's all about Tim Key. Tim Key is the main guy in it, a.k.a. Psychic Simon on the Alan Partridge shows, the various shows that Alan Partridge has done since he came back to television. He is hilarious in the film, Tim Key. But it made me want to go back and look at his performances with Alan Partridge. That's like it's so. And you can get on the official Baby Cow, who are the producers of Alan Partridge shows. They do like special clip shows, if you like, there's one for Psychic Simon, more than one, I think, for Psychic Simon. And then I went back and watched all episodes of This Siren with Alan Partridge. And Tim Key is so brilliant at Psychic Simon. It really... seeing Ballad of Wallace Island made me appreciate his genius, his timing, the expressions on his face, the way he responds to what Alan says to him. Alan bullying, basically. Alan is the James to your Psychic Simon.
Wow.
On the show.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Justice for Kay.
Yeah. And it's so entertaining. So I've just went down a whole rabbit hole of Tim Key, basically. And that was very enjoyable.
I just realised what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
With Carey Mulligan. Really want to see that.
Yes, it's fabulous. It's fantastic. You should go see it.
Oh, okay.
Someone said, I met one of the producers last night at an event, at Q&A I hosted, and she was saying that it wasn't in that many cinemas in the country in the first week, and then purely on word of mouth and demand, they had to like by 100%.
Oh wow!
Put it in more screens, and then it's going to go up in the chart, which is a very rare thing to happen for a film. And she was like, everyone's bowled over by what phenomenon it's become. So that's brilliant. And finally, in the new stuff that we've been sent screeners for that I couldn't resist watching, and then had to watch to write about it, and we'll definitely be reviewing it in the next issue. But just to say, I watched loads of these, and I won't tell you what I thought until we do review it properly. But Smoke, with the Taron Egerton drama series about a fire investigator, and he's an ex-firefighter turned fire investigator for the police.
Muscly.
Of course, Taron Egerton is always muscly in all his shows. But it's written with Dennis Lehane, who created Blackbird, which is the thing they made together, and which was a true story. This is based on a podcast which I haven't listened to, but it's such an interesting story. It's fascinating. And Taron Egerton is brilliant, as he always is.
Listen, stop edging towards review.
Oh, God, I'm edging towards
territory.
Review.
Yeah.
You know what? I would have gone further for you.
Yeah.
I haven't even realised.
It's embargoed.
And also, he's so strict about it, usually.
But the good news is, I know for a fact, it's not heavily embargoed, so we can review it in full in the next episode, by the way.
Good news.
Exciting.
Yeah, and even though I'm saying Taron Egerton is excellent, I might hate the rest of it. I might think it's all terrible. Yeah. You never know.
Beep, beep, beep. This point is reversing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I've now written a small list.
Okay.
I watched and finished Sirens on Netflix, and I enjoyed that immensely. I thought it was really good. And I thought all the characters were so textured and densely layered that, you know, you can't pinpoint one person who's definitely in the wrong, you know, and I love it because they've all got their flaws. And I think there's a lot to recommend that. I've also watched The Better Sister. Do you remember that? So that was the one on Prime Video.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that as well. I think it could have lost a couple of episodes. I think it was it eight episodes? Could have been six. But yes, lots of twists. And I thought, now, who is it? Elizabeth Banks?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jessica Biel.
She is really good at it. I mean, they're both good in it, yeah. But I think Elizabeth Banks really steals the show. Mm. So I really enjoyed that. And I haven't finished, but I'm continuing to watch Death Valley. Which, you know, the cozy crime drama with
I talked about this last week. Isn't it brilliant how they solve it most in 45 minutes?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And they all happen in the vicinity. Yeah. You know, very like Marple in that way. Yeah.
I saw a table just to say that had Better Sister and Department Q, I think, together, so showing how they've done really well. In viewership tallies, you know, they're the big talked about streaming shows at the moment. There you go. Fact. No, well, that's
good.
Funny.
No, it's good. There with facts. And that is about it, I think. I've watched some other stuff that's coming up, but we're going to review it, and I don't want to fall in that territory and get castigated by
Boyd. Don't do a Boyd.
Like me on Smoke.
Mm, yeah, I don't want to get told off. James, what have you been watching?
Well, Department Q was going to be my big one, but Boyd has stolen my thunder quite soundly there. But yeah, I enjoyed that so much so, I think I mentioned this on Pilot Plus, I stayed up until about like 1:30 in the morning finishing
it.
I couldn't stop watching it. I was like, that's it, I can't fit in the final one. And I was like, go on, I will do. And then I started it, and the last episode's like an hour and 15 minutes. I was like, damn it! So I went to bed very late, but it was worth it.
But do you find when you watch it so late that like you're watching it because you want a sense of completion, but actually you're not fully taking it in because you're tired?
Well, I was tireder than I would have liked, but it's so addictive and I had to see how it ended. I was just, I couldn't get enough. I was a little bit like sad when it finished because I want more.
I was, really sad, yeah.
I need more.
How many episodes are there in total?
Nine, I think, yeah.
Oh,
nine.
God, I don't know if I can participate in the special then because I've only watched the first one and you want to do it on Wednesday.
Lazy.
It's just Thursday. Lazy. You've got 6 days.
I know. I've got life in between the pods.
I mean,
but
I mean, look, Boydie bought it so many Q&As to host. Yeah. So many.
Don't wind him up.
That is true.
Look, he's already sick. Don't make him worse.
Seriously, he's already sick. Comes and says to the woman who literally could barely get a sentence out without coughing only a day ago.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
And in fact, now to some extent.
What else have I watched this week? I will say I watched the finale of Mobland, which did finish, and I had been enjoying that show quite a lot while issuing the caveat that I'm not entirely sure that it's a great show, but it's quite watchable. That's quite compelling. I think Cardi's performance is really good in it. I didn't think it went out with a bang. Did you watch it all, Boyd? Did you finish
no.
it?
No.
I thought the finale was, I've got to be honest, a little bit disappointing. I mean, it, yes, you don't get full resolution because it sets up more developments to come. But I'd maybe just grown a little bit weary of a couple of the central characters. And I thought it kind of fizzled out a little bit for me at the end, which was a shame because I'd been really enjoying it. Like, it had become appointment viewing for me every week. I'd really enjoyed Mob Lab.
Wow.
But yeah, didn't love the finale.
Did Guy Ritchie direct the whole thing?
No, not every episode. Okay. Some of them, but not
okay.
all.
Okay, because he's the busiest man in film and television.
I mean, he is a busy man. It's absolutely true. But no, and he did not crucially direct the finale either.
Okay.
I think it was just the first. Can't right. the first couple, maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, it was. Yeah,
they really sold it on his name, by the way.
And it has. I mean, it feels very Guy Ritchie. Right. It really does. But like I say, really enjoyed it. But a little bit disappointed by the end. Will I watch season two? Yes, I will. So I want to see what happens.
Are you talking to yourself?
Am I talking to myself?
Yes,
again? Yes. Is this what the live show is going to be like? Quite
yes,
possibly.
Oh
who knows?
You really have lapsed into Partridge.
Yeah, it really has.
It's going to be great.
Oh, dear. Well, that's good. Good bit of watching.
Thank you very much, Kay.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Okay. Oh, God. Right, so that is it for the things we've been watching. It is traditional now that we open the postbag case, so if you would like to do the honors.
Okay.
Having frantically shouted out to our listenership to see if anyone has a question for us.
Yes, and we got one reply, and it's a good one.
Okay.
It's from Claire, who says, summer holidays are approaching. Assuming you're the main character, which fictional TV world offers the best potential of a holiday romance?
Oh, of a holiday romance?
Yeah.
Say that again.
Which fictional TV world offers the best potential of a holiday romance? That's a great question.
Boyd is down for Love Rat, straight
off
the bat.
I'm going to say The White Lotus.
I'm going to say, if you want a bad relationship, that is the place to go.
No,
lovely low cards. I don't think you're going to find the love of your life on The White Lotus.
Holiday romance.
Yeah, but it's going to end badly.
Yeah, but I wouldn't get killed. I would definitely not get killed. I would just have a lovely time in an exotic location.
I'm very certain about that.
Yeah.
Have you watched The White Lotus?
Yeah.
How many people have a lovely time on The White Lotus?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I would take myself off.
Almost the whole point in The White Lotus. It's a terrible place
yes,
to have a romance.
But not everyone gets killed in the resorts. There's some people having a lovely time.
But even if you don't get killed, you're still not you're going to be left out of the lurch. Left in the lurch.
It is, to quote Beth Webb, a jamboree of misery.
There you go.
Well, listen, go. I just think, I'm just thinking exotic location, take up with a waiter, whatever. Anyway.
Take up with a waiter. Okay. Wow, this is giving me
that was a strand.
Quite an insight into your summer holiday.
No, because that was a strand from White Lotus. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, maybe not The White Lotus. I was just trying to throw an answer out there. What's your answer, James Dyer?
I mean, pick a Star Trek, really. I don't know.
So, do you want a holiday romance in a...
Well, you've got a writer, which is like...
Andor, you could do it in...
Yes, I could. I could wander the beachfront on Neomos, listening to the banging Neomos EDM tracks. So that could work. I could do that. It's like Risa in Star Trek, which is like the sex planet they go to on Star Trek. They will go on holiday. They will holiday on Risa.
Which Star Trek is that in?
It's Next Generation, initially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Riker used to go there all the time.
Oh, okay, that's what I didn't know.
Picard even goes there.
Wow.
It's where he meets Vash, his love interest.
Okay, you've opened up that camera now.
Yeah, you
have. Could you have, in The Expanse, is there like a romantic getaway?
Why are you encouraging him?
Not really. No. There's not a lot of what I would say particularly pleasant locales in The Expanse. They spend a lot of time on space stations, asteroids and ships. So, there's nowhere I'd really holiday.
In the trailer for this, I was going to mention this in news, but in the trailer for the new Lena Dunham Netflix series, which is coming soon, very soon, I think, we'll be reviewing in a couple of weeks' time.
I can't wait.
My first thought was, because there's like a bit where she's walking across Tower Bridge, which is very near where I live, and it was that she's making London a real like focus of this show. It's sort of about an American.
Like Black Dust.
It's almost like it's a character.
Don't see. No, I hate that. I'm not saying that. That cliche should be banned from all critique. I heard like three people using that this week, by the way, in various.
Oh God,
things.
Let it go. Yeah. It's fine.
But she makes London look very romantic and beautifully lit bits of London. So I'm going to say London in the Lena Dunham new show version of.
So
of,
he gets to choose.
City.
The wonderful city of London, and also show off that he's seen the.
No. Yeah. I said in the trailer.
Oh, you wrote in the trailer.
Okay.
I think you've got some episodes, haven't you?
No, I said that. I'm not being recorded, Kay. I said that just among us. But now you've got me into trouble. Probably, who knows that I may or may not have seen the trailer. I'm just talking about the trailer. All right, let's get that clear.
Unbelievable. It's this boy, he's bullying you. This is bullying, yeah.
And you wonder why I get sick like this. My disposition.
Unbelievable. But actually, we're going to be reviewing a show a little bit later on. It has to be said, if I were to summer somewhere, wouldn't mind summering
on one of the shows
this week.
Well, I've got a point to make about that.
I'm sure, and I look forward to it. But unfortunately, I don't have a private island, so that's not it's not likely to be an option.
Hmm.
If it's to find a summer fling, I think I would go to Rutshire.
Oh my God, that's a brilliant answer.
Yeah.
Rivals.
It's sunny, it's verdant, there are rolling hills, and there's rampant shagging and naked tennis.
You're
going to
be playing naked tennis with someone.
Why not?
Poor
why
individual.
Not? If Alan Partridge can root for monkey tennis, I can go for naked tennis.
Wait, is this what's the live? Oh no, this is the answer to the question.
Yes, right. We're now playing naked tennis of the live show.
I'll be the umpire. Probably just sighing wearily.
He beat you to that though, okay. Rivals was your favourite show.
Yes, so. I know, I'm furious. I didn't think, because actually that's really cool, period, 80s, fun.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
I mean, definitely go back in time.
I'd like to see him with a wig and like a tash as well. Do you know what I mean? The full 80s gear, that'd be fun.
You know, I wore a wig when I was in the background of the Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant film Cemetery Junction. Do you remember that? I did an on set.
You wore a wig? What sort of wig?
Have I told you this?
I don't think so.
It's
quite a full-on wig, like full-on very...
What colour?
Like dark brown... Yeah, dark brown, and I think I might have had a moustache as well, but I only mentioned it because I saw Christian Cook last night, this thing I hosted, who was in Cemetery Junction. He remembered. He was like, we met.
Do you have a picture of it?
And it was a long time ago. I've got a picture of it somewhere.
We'll put it on the socials.
He was like, I nearly didn't recognise you because you had the head of hair. I said, because I was wearing a fucking wig. to amuse himself, Richard Mace insisted that I wore a wig.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think I'd like that.
It was quite horrific.
I feel like when you take your glasses off and it really, I don't like it. Because it doesn't look like you.
Yeah, it was it was a big bowl of wrong.
Okay, yeah. So no wigs at the live. No wigs for Boyd.
No.
Okay. Have we answered this question? It's hard
to
say at this stage.
That was a
good answer.
Excellent. I won the question. Good to know. So if you would like to write in with your question, email is the best way. It is pilottv@empiremagazine.com. Okie dokie. Let us move on to, I'm going to say news this week. Now, I have had a cursory look at news.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of it this week.
There's a couple of things.
I've got a couple.
Hit me with it.
There's more. There's quite
Boydie,
a lot.
Hit me with this torrent of news you've discovered.
First of all, I don't want to be smug, and I don't like celebrating.
Don't steal James's gig, for God's sake.
But also, I don't like particularly celebrating when shows get axed and people lose jobs
But you're
going to. But I'm going to a little bit, because remember when we reviewed Étoile, the ballet.
That's not news, is it?
Yeah.
It's been cancelled.
It's been cancelled. Not only has it been cancelled, as I predicted, but it's been cancelled despite the fact they ordered two seasons in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's been so disappointing and unpopular.
They've
actually
unrenewed
had to go back to.
They should have to honour their commitment.
I mean, it is. I don't want to
say anymore.
That's pretty damning.
That is pretty damning.
It is pretty damning.
I am sorry.
They picked up for two seasons and went, oh, no, hang on.
And again, I'm saying it because a lot of people said to me, it's really good. You don't really know. You don't understand. It's really good. And I did actually watch a couple of more and still didn't really like it. But sad times. Étoile is
sad times.
Yeah.
All right, that's you're right. I had seen that one. Okay, here's the one piece of news that I did know.
Yes.
Is that Presumed Innocent, which we all enjoyed a great deal, is returning for a second season. Rachel Brosnahan will be in it, with or without a golden arm, it's unclear. But this is interesting because it's, because clearly it's now an anthology show. This is going to be based on an upcoming novel, a 2026 novel, Dissection of a Murder by Joe Murray.
Yeah, because I think we assumed that there'll be another Scott Shiro.
Yeah.
Because there have been.
There are loads of them.
Et cetera. But no, they're going to, not to agree. Different author, a completely different book, and I guess the only thing, I mean, it's just a legal drama.
I mean, it is now it's become a legal anthology, but I assume it's because like the title is Presumed Innocent, so if the next book in the series has nothing to do with that, maybe this is all going to be about the kind of did they or didn't they do it, maybe that's now the unifying structure of the show.
It must be.
For it.
I did read out, there was a whole, lots of stars are doing interviews at the moment in the States because it's award season and Emmy nominations are due soon. And I think the closing date to be nominated for an Emmy was May 31st. So they had loads of like chats. And I did read an interview with David E. Kelly, I think, who produced Presumed Innocent, saying they changed who the perpetrator was like midway through writing that the whole season, which was
interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I won't spoil it, but...
Oh, yeah. I now need to know. You have to tell me afterwards.
Yeah, but I thought that was really interesting. Yeah.
That's good. Jake Gyllenhaal, definitely not in it, but he will be exec producing, apparently.
Yeah, I think that, I feel like, I mean, you know... That's
don't
like
go it. For Jake.
No,
my personal friend.
I love Jake, but what's the phase? It's like exec producer like is a meaningless phrase.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, anything. He might appear in it.
Or he says insulting like all exec producers listening.
Because bear in mind, it's kind of, it's inspired by, based on this novel, so I don't think it's necessarily like an absolute...
Oh, yeah, maybe it'll pop up. Yeah, I didn't think of that, yeah.
So he could be in it.
That's true.
No, I'm saying he isn't going to be.
He isn't.
Oh, he's definitely not.
He's definitely not.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's
according
not
to the news report I read,
under any circumstances.
Well, other than to exec produce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for clearing that up.
happy to help.
Good.
I mentioned earlier the trailer for Lena Dunham's thing, new thing, and the trailer is excellent. I think it would really make you want to watch the show, whether you've got screenings or not available. But also they announced all the guest stars that are in it, and it's an incredible. Have you seen this?
Tell me.
So the main two are Megan Stalter and Will Sharp of season two of The White Lotus, the standout star.
I loved him in that.
He's brilliant in that. But she's got Lena Dunham, who's got loads of guest stars taking part. Richard E. Grant, Rita Wilson, Naomi Watts, Andrew Scott, Jennifer Saunders, Kit Harington, Rita Ora, Jessica Alba, Andrew Reynolds, Rhea Perlman from Out of Cheers, who, if you watch the trailer, is fucking hilarious.
Carla.
Isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Carla from Cheers. Stephen Fry.
Bloody hell.
Emily Ratajkowski. And Adwoa Abar.
Okay, now she's just showing
up. I mean, what that is a proper... It's not even about, by the way. It's kind of... I think it's loosely about someone who's working, making ads and marketing and stuff. But to be that star-studded is quite incredible for the story that it's telling.
Listen, Dunham calls, you pick up the phone and you say yes.
100%. Yeah, can't wait for that, yeah. So we'll be seeing that in full soon.
The only other thing that I've seen is that the BBC have acquired a new romance series, which I'm excited about, called Mixtape, and apparently it'll air later this summer and is based on the book of the same name by former BBC Radio 4 producer Jane Sanderson. And the story follows Daniel and Alison, who met as teenagers in Sheffield in the 80s and bond over music, and he gives her a mixtape. And then decades later, they're both with different people, and Daniel's still living in Sheffield, but she's moved to Australia. But he sends her a Facebook friendship request. Do you remember those back in the day? Anyway, they reconnect.
Don't they still have them?
No, they do. I know, okay. But they reconnect over, you know, specific love songs, the songs that they loved when they were together, etc. And they have a virtual reunion, which brings up memories, both good and bad, and then it causes issues for their respective relationships. Sounds good.
There's also the BBC showed first pictures of this project, The Cage, which is the new show, the new drama from Tony Schumacher, who, I hear you asking, he's the brilliant talent who created The Responder, the Martin Freeman cop show, which is, he was an ex-policeman himself, Tony Schumacher. I think he's brilliantly talented. And this show has got the excellent cast. The two leads are played by Sheridan Smith and Michael Socha, who really is outstanding in What It Feels Like for a Girl, and he plays the father in that, and he's terrifying and horrible and yet quite new in a nuanced way, so to speak. But this programme is set in, this drama is set in the world of a Liverpool casino, and the two characters, these two main characters, are both kind of nicking money from the casino, and so they kind of come up against each other and the gangsters who run the whole casino and everything. So that looks like being excellent. Okay.
Oh, just to say also about Mixtape, I buried the lead because the cast has been announced, and it will be Teresa Palmer in the lead role and boy's friend Jim Sturgis as the other lead.
I mean, I'm an open mind with Jim Sturgis. I haven't, I think
this will be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Two things I wanted to mention. One is, in my interview with Michael Patrick King, the showrunner of And Just Like That and Sex and the City, of course, previously, right at the end, I asked him about The Comeback, because he co-created The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow, one of the greatest two
Brilliant.
Seasons of which, 10 years ago.
It's so good. Valerie Cherish.
Amazing show. And I asked him about it, and he's very proud of it. It's like, yeah, it's amazing. And he said he's in talks with Lisa about doing more. So hopefully.
This is literally the best news ever.
It's fantastic news. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Very exciting. And then finally, I like to have my Variety headline of the week. I thought this was very topical. And I'm not going to go into detail in the story because I don't want to open up this whole can of worms. But listen to this headline properly. Bridget Jones director Michael Morris on the Emmy long form conundrum, : what's the difference between a film and a TV movie?
Oh my gosh.
As if made for us. But we'll get on to that another time.
I mean, a film and a TV movie.
Okay, listen, right. Are we calling time on news?
I mean, we're definitely calling time on that conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's move on then to reviews. And first up this week, we have Pushers on Channel 4. And this is a comedy with Rosie Jones, who plays Emily. She's a woman with cerebral palsy whose benefits essentially get cut, leading her to choose, I think it's safe to say, an alternate career path, dealing cocaine. Now, Kay is, as you'll be astonished to hear, in the pocket of big cocaine. So we turn to the more straight-edged Boyd Hilton to tell us about this.
Rosie Jones had you heard of Rosie Jones before this?
No, I had not.
Of course, yeah. Rosie Jones is definitely, I would say, one of the foremost comedians of the moment. You'll see she does a lot of panel shows. She's done Would I Lie to You, for example, the best one, of course, we'll be recreating in our live show.
We're really hooked to this idea.
And she's genuinely very funny and I think well-liked. She came to this very building. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah. She did a talk in this very building, I think a few months ago, it was part of like a week of events or something about, you know, diversity and equality and all of that. And apparently I didn't see it because I think I was away, but people said she was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and like kind of, you know, inspirational figure. This, as you mentioned in your description of it, it's a ridiculous premise, really. But I think it's one of those things where, so the premise is she plays this woman who's lost all her benefits, and because she doesn't know how to play the system, and all these people advising her, she's got to basically lie about various elements of her disability in order to just get the fucking money, which I think is a stark reflection of the reality of the situation, by the way, now that we're living in Keir Starmer's Britain. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to get in political, but I will say that, because there are definitely issues with disability benefits. So I think that's part of the reason, the undercurrent current of this show. But on top of that quite serious message, if you like, is the absolutely ridiculous notion that she's ended up accidentally dealing cocaine. And it's absurd. And there's loads of absurd moments in the show that I think you're meant to sit back and go, oh my God, that is ridiculous. But yeah, quite funny at the same time. As always happens when I watch a show like this, essentially a sitcom.
James.
Of course, always. It's like a disease.
He's got into your brain.
He's weedled his way into my mind.
Is it silly? That's the question you're asking yourself.
And it is silly. Again, this is one of those shows that I feel is designed to be silly and preposterous at various intervals. And sure enough, the characters do and say stuff that is ludicrous. But that's part of the fun. That's part of the deal. And I enjoyed it. I thought that she's co-written it. It started out as a comedy blap, which was a short for Channel 4, which went out in 2022, called Disability Benefits. And she's co-written it with Peter Fellows. And there's a supporting cast of kind of, shall we say, of outsiders and misfits. And one of which, who's the guy who kind of embroils her in the drug dealing thing, I did find a little bit annoying.
I liked him.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, Ryan McParland plays Ewan.
Yeah, right. I think he's meant to be annoying to some extent, right?
Yeah, he's definitely he's meant to be that guy that you went to school with, who's still stayed in the same town, hasn't got any prospects, and is just trying to be... He's a big fish in a small pond, or thinks he is, at least.
I think he's a small fish in a small pond.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Of course, yeah. He thinks
he's bigger than he is. Yeah,
yeah. I think he's an annoying fish in a small pond. I couldn't get on with that particular character, but the rest of it I enjoyed, and I did enjoy her performance. And her acting in various moments, when just the odd little moment, they don't push it. It's not like I don't want people to think this Tony is like actually a lot of. It's been a little bit of a wave, shall we say, a new wave of comedy dealing with issues like this, right? And created by people who are reflecting their own lived-in experience, as that slightly cliche phrase goes. But this doesn't have that. This doesn't have that kind of undercurrent of seriousness, almost, and of drama. This is an out-and-out silly comedy, with, albeit, you know, a clear reference to what's going on in the world of disability benefit, as the original thing was called. But you could forget all that and just acknowledge the fact that it is a proudly silly, quasi-preposterous, out-and-out comedy that's not trying to be too serious or heavyweight in any way. There's a lightness to it, is what I'm trying to say, in a slightly tortured manner. And there's a lightness to her performance, even though every now and then there's a little moment where you're like, oh, it's a bit sad. What's going on? And she's quite rightly is a bit sad. But I enjoyed it.
Now, Kay, you are compromised, as we have said.
Deeply compromised.
Deeply. You are a pusher's pusher.
I am. And also I've drunk the Rosie Jones Kool-Aid, because she is, as you said, I didn't know she'd come into the building, but she is so smart and funny and inspiring. You know, like, what she says about her, like, everything, you know, she thinks about, let's not get into it, but, you know, how the government's treating disabled people and society. It's so shocking, but also she's inspiring change because, you know, she wants you to think about that, but without, you know, pushing it. Tease the title, being a pusher. But that's to say, I really, really like her when I interviewed her on stage. And what we should say is that the majority of the cast is disabled. And that was really important to her, both on screen and off screen. I think that's really good as well, you know, obviously, because she said, you know, she didn't want it to be one disabled character with the only disabled storyline, because that's not reflective of society. And I was like, yeah, actually, you don't think about it if you're not in that situation. But she was like, it was really important for it to be representative of how society looks. It is silly. But I think it's like silly in a good way, because it's a combination of just, you know, preposterous stuff and stuff that would make James cringe.
Yes.
Also funny dialogue, great physical comedy moments, but I think packs a punch as well in terms of what it's saying about, you know, what improvements need to be made. And what I actually like the character of Ewan. I didn't find him annoying. I really like their dynamic between the two of them. I think they've got a good chemistry. And also, I didn't realise Rosie Jones... I knew, obviously, she does stand-up. I didn't know she had done dramatic acting until I did the screening. I didn't know she'd done Call the Midwife and stuff like that. Mm. But her comedy acting is really good. And it's sometimes these just subtle moments where it's just this facial expression she pulls in reaction to something someone is saying. I think it's really good. So, yeah. I mean, but I am biased, but I enjoyed it.
There's the funniest scene is when there's a confrontation with the police, and this police woman is, like, too embarrassed to want to deal with a disabled woman. That is really funny. That's a really funny scene.
I didn't find that funny, but then I didn't find any of this funny.
I mean, that's no surprise to me.
No, but I liked that scene because what I did appreciate about this is it's comedy, but it comes from a place of commentary on, as you say, disabled life, the way disabled people are treated. And that I thought was quite a pointed one. Like, yes, the benefits commentary is in there, but the fact that even the police, who are to a certain extent, you know, one would think trained in dealing with the public, had just no clue how to talk to a disabled person and just literally faked a radio call so they could get away.
That,
and I love the fact that she's using that to essentially get away with the fact that she's got loads of coke in her bag. You know, it's like, I thought that was really clever. That said, I did not find this in any way amusing, because the comedy is very, very broad, and it's, you know, it's definitely not my sense of humour, and it is deeply, deeply silly. Ryan McParland's character, didn't annoy me in particular, but he is caricatured in his stupidity, and I have very little time for that, unfortunately. But you know, there's some clever stuff in here as well. And if this is your bag, as it clearly is yours, then I'm sure it's great. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I also there's a woman she kind of clearly fancies in the who's working at the charity where she's working. That's a really funny moment as well.
Yeah,
where
the
she's
boss.
Kind of like well, goes all shy and obviously has
a... She has quite big Lucy Punch from Amanda Land energy.
Yeah, she does that character. Yeah. She's really funny, yeah.
She's got it in for Soho Farmhouse as well.
This is
funny.
By the way,
that's funny.
That is funny. Soho Farmhouse reference. Yeah. There's a Soho House reference in another comedy I was watching the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everyone's got it in for the Soho House group.
It's become a byword.
Give us the cheap memberships, otherwise we're coming for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Push us then. Kay, you should know when and where this is airing, given that you are on their payroll.
I mean, Kay relies her entire life on me telling her what...
It airs on Thursday the 19th of June at 9 p.m, boys.
Wow,
well,
look at that.
When I'm hosting, I take my duties very seriously.
You may very well boast, but I do believe it's 10 p.m.
Do you know what? I mean, in my head, before I said it, I thought it was 10. I was like, no, that's too late.
I hope you didn't tell the poor people that you're screaming to the wrong time.
On the day I read it outright. But isn't that too late? Why is it
isn't
late?
Kay needs to get to bed. She's a beautiful
Yeah,
twice.
I want it at 9.
Yeah.
Kay, comedies, Channel 4 never shows a comedy at 9. They're always on at 10. That's just the slot.
I was going to say you'd earned your money, but I think you give them a partial refund.
No, because on the day I did read it outright.
Okay.
It's so annoying. I shouldn't have doubted myself when I was just saying it now. Yeah. I went to say 10 and I was like, no, it can't be that late.
All right, well, push us then. Okay,
teaches
next
me
up.
To be smug, but
it does.
I'm taking that
it
lesson.
It does. Leave it to the professionals, Kay. Leave it to the professionals.
Yeah.
Next up, we have You and Drama's You and Outrageous, a 1937 tale of the aristocratic daughters of the second Baron of Redsdale, because of course it does. Here to talk about it is the aristocratic daughter of Pilot TV, Duchess Kay Ribeiro.
So, yes, well, you've said the premise. So this is...
As he often does.
He likes to give all the details.
I do.
This is based on Mary Lovell's biography, The Mitford Girls. Did you say that? I don't think you did.
I didn't, but no.
It is, and it's by Sarah Williams, and it's a six-part series. And as you said, it explores the Mitford sisters, their aristocratic family. This joins the action in 1931, where they're having to make financial cutbacks. It's very, like, you know, lavish, and they're having a lovely time being an aristocratic family. And then they're having to make cutbacks, but not taking it so seriously. The daughters obviously don't care. There's six sisters. So the parents are obviously concerned that they need to get these girls married off, and that's the biggest concern of the day. But actually, surely what the biggest consideration and concern should be is that Diana, one of the daughters, who is married to Brian Guinness, I believe, who was going to inherit the Guinness fortune, has her head turned by the British fascist leader, Oswald Mosley. And do you know what? All these sisters, they have very interesting stories. So you've obviously got Nancy Mitford, the writer, Diana, who becomes a fascist, Unity, who becomes a friend of Hitler, as you do, right? Mm. And then others, Jessica's a communist, and et cetera, et cetera. And this follows them on the journey over the next few years, and how their lives are scandal filled. This is lavish. I enjoyed it. It's entertaining. But I didn't love it as much as I thought I was going to, because I think it's got this... I mean, it's narrated by Nancy Mitford, who is played brilliantly by Bessie Carter. And it's a very knowing, arch voiceover. But there's a sense, there's a kind of slight comedy tone, or like, I think it's just, it's trying to be quite light, but actually the subject matter for me, I think, is quite, you know, it's more hefty, and I think needs a different, more like serious tone to it almost, because they come up with these, what would you call them, the plates, what are those called?
Title cards, right.
Which are kind of almost
lighthearted.
Lighthearted, I found them to be quite Guy Ritchie, if I'm honest with you.
It was a little bit of a gentleman. Yeah.
It's got a really weird, poppy, gangstery isn't the right word, but it has that Guy Ritchie kind of pizzazz to it, which feels anachronistic.
But I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. It was at odds, I think, with the subject. And so it had this kind of jocular tone that I didn't, necessarily sit well with me. But yeah, it was entertaining enough, and I enjoyed it. And also because the story is fascinating. When I was writing about this, I was just doing a lot of Googling, and you think it's insane. It seems crazier than fiction, you know, that one's friends with Hitler, another's married to Oswald Mosley. It's insane. But this is all happening in one family. But, you know, families are strange. But yeah, will I watch any more? No, I will not, probably.
Fair. Boydie.
The best... The best depiction of Oswald Mosley and
Peaky Blinders.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. is in Peaky Blinders, as you say. Stephen Knight's brilliant BBC Two, went to BBC One drama series, which kind of incorporated a lot of these stories into the texture of its own narrative, with fictional, obviously led by fictional characters, but they got embroiled with Oswald Mosley and some of the Mitfords and Winston Churchill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the way he weaved those characters into Peaky Blinders was brilliant. And one of my favourite things about, I think what series, like three maybe or four?
That was the end, it's the final season.
Well, yeah. Final season, yeah. I thought he did that really well, and it kind of did it very powerfully, so that in that drama, being able to have fictional characters getting embroiled with those people, it allowed it to kind of not feel kind of clunky and obvious in some way. Whereas I think this, as soon as Oswald Mosley arrives on screen, which he does quite early on, which is fair enough, because he is by far the most interesting, weirdly, the most interesting thing for me about the Mitfords was their connections to Oswald Mosley and Hitler, etc., to fascism. It is fascinating. But they bring him in early, and he's literally making a speech and saying, you know, he's a proud fascist, and talking about the political situation. It's all a bit almost so straightforward.
Obvious.
And as you say... And yet, it's kind of they've given it a little kind of like pizzazz with the title cards, which you could call Guy Ritchian or whatever. Mm. And I do think there is a disparity between the two things. That on the one hand, it's showing you the horror. Well, not really the horror, but initially the nasty fascist who's you know charming and quite good looking and that whole shtick, which is fine to depict that. But you are aware of what he did and what happens next, and there is something a bit creepy about trying to be fluffy about it. Yeah. So, because at the end of the day, the tone of this show is being frothy and fun with all these rich women and their various partners and husbands, and isn't it kind of amusing? And so, or even things like the fact that Bessie Carter's character,
Nancy,
her boyfriend is so obviously gay, it, you know, literally couldn't be gayer and you know, about it, and kind of, you know, she only finds out, even when she kind of jumps into bed with him after some terrible advice from one of her sisters, you know, he's like, he can't deal with the whole thing. And by the way, that actor, who I thought was really funny as Hamish, who's again, real life figure, James Musgrave plays Hamish, who she was obsessed with and based her novel on, I think, him as well. He looks like, and it almost sounds a little bit like a young Kenneth Williams. And if they want to make a film about young Kenneth Williams, they should definitely get James Musgrave to play.
Oh, wow. If they do, you
brilliant.
Need a percentage of the fee.
Yeah,
the
I really feel
that's
like someone needs to commission a Kenneth. There was a Kenneth Williams biopic on BBC 4 years ago, but do a new updated one with James Musgrave, because he's very fun. He's very good and very funny. So yeah, I wanted to like it more than I did. I think because of that weird the title. And I know you shouldn't get hung up on the titles thing, but it also reflects the tone of it anyway. So you know, by the way, right? So this is another drama, really. If you step back from the fact that it's based on a non-fiction book about these real people, and they aren't real people, but there are so many dramas, and we're about to do another one. I don't think there's ever been in the history of TV this many shows about rich people. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Every single other drama.
White rich families.
White rich people. Privileged. Entitlement. We get it. I'm like, you know, if they're good, they're good and it's fine. But this one literally opens with them all standing, sitting by the pool, and they're jumping in the pool and they're messing around. And then two of the sisters keep fighting each other, literally fight each other physically, and their mum, their poor mum, yeah, is trying to, you know, deal with that and everything.
And a chancellor, isn't it?
And a chancellor is always great. It's always good to see Anna Chancellor. James Purefoy plays the dad, etc. I think if you're going to do... I think the problem with the show is it's both trying to do too much and almost not enough. It's trying to incorporate all of the sisters... And having, you know, Oswald Mosley floating along in the, you know, is a subplot almost, and yet not enough, and yet you don't want to particularly carry on watching it because there's no massive hook to focus on for subsequent episodes. So, I didn't. I was going to say I didn't hate it. Put that on the poster.
I didn't hate it either. It's just I didn't enjoy it as much as I liked.
I quite enjoyed moments.
It's not hateable.
No. Like, yeah, it's quite good. It's quite good. Again, put that on the poster. There were certain moments I really liked.
Mm.
And I think the guy playing Osamosi is really good as well, by the way, who is Joshua Sasse, I don't know how to pronounce his name. So everyone, all the performances are good. I think Bessie Carter in particular is really good as Nancy. Mm. She's great. And you really feel sorry for her. But there's something about it doesn't quite hang together. And I think it's just almost too ambitious a thing. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like you need much longer than this series is going to be. It's almost like you need it to be Peaky Blinders length.
Mm.
Peaky Blinders managed to incorporate a whole story of Ansel Mosley into its running time, into all those episodes. This didn't tell all these women's stories in six parts. It's like, I don't know how that can happen.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. It was fine. It was inoffensive. I was slightly wrong-footed by those early Richie-esque titles, but they do, you know, relent. Other than that, I guess you'd call it posh porn, isn't it? The idea of sort of voyeurism on the, and especially the British aristocracy, and the just frankly the absurdity of it all. And I think that's why all of these things are popular, whether it be Downton Abbey, whether it be this, and also like something like The Gilded Age, which I know is set in America. But there's something about the aristocracy, isn't it? That there's an absurdity to the way they speak, the way they act, these sort of coming out balls, the clothes, and the fact here where they have a clash with, God forbid, the working class at one point in it.
Yes.
You know, and so there is something quite entertaining about them in a way that it feels like a weird, slightly twee fantasy world. So I guess that's why a lot of people like it. And it is slightly escapist. And there, it's an interesting story, you know, historically point of view, as you say, you know, being friends with Hitler, kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But yes, I had Peaky Blinders in my head a lot through this. I think Stephen Knight is masterful at the way he weaves historical storytelling, you know, Thousand Blows, whatnot, however he's done these things, you know, SAS Rogue Heroes, and weaving into a really compelling, exciting narrative, because he does a lot of that kind of like almost like pop style execution, you know, not quite Guy Ritchie style, but the way he makes things sexy, he makes them like rock stars, he makes them like larger than life characters.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what he does is very, very good. I don't think this is quite on that level, but I didn't mind it. It has to be said, plan to watch the remaining five episodes of it. But I might read the Mitford Sisters Wikipedia page. So there's that.
Yeah, well, their stories are remarkable. And I was going to say, I'm tempted to read the book, The Mitford Girls by Mary Lovell, on which it's based. But I have seen documentaries about them, and, you know, I know quite a lot about them before this. But yeah, it's that is the fundamental thing in the end. Yeah, I wouldn't probably necessarily need to carry on watching it.
Yeah.
Having said all that, by the way, I'm glad that it's good that UK TV, who own, you know, UN, the UN channels,
yes,
which this is on. UN drama. I'm glad they're doing this kind of thing. You know,
yeah, like their original
drama. Original drama. It's a. I'm going to use the B word. It's a bold project. Really hard to pull off, though. And I'm not. I think it's kind of almost. It almost worked, but not quite. Is my feeling.
But I Jack Wright was good.
Oh, it was really good. Yeah. No, completely. No.
So it works sometimes.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's this particular story they've decided to tell.
Oh, I thought you meant like their original dramas.
No, not at all. I'm not looking their original dramas in the round. I'm just saying this is a particularly difficult project they've tried to pull off.
Yeah.
Trying to tell the story of a massive family, all of which, all the tendrils of relationships, all of their different partners, and embroiled in Hitler and fascism and Osamosi. It's a lot to deal with in a six-part series for anyone. Let alone, you know, UK TV and UN drama, etc.
UN Outrageous, then, which lands on UN drama when, Boydie?
Thursday, the 19th of June, 9 o'clock, and it'll all be on the U player, whatever it's called, online.
UN Thursday,
UN 9 service. O'clock. Yes.
Okay, good. Fantastic. Finally, this week, we have We Were Liars, and this is Prime Video's adaptation of the E. Lockhart YA novel of the same name, which was published in 2014. And this is a group of four teenagers who routinely summer on their grandfather's private island, something I think we can all relate to, only for an incident, let's call it an incident, to put their brat summer under strain. Boydie, I put it to you that this is maybe the most YA show that has ever YA'd, but beyond that, do these liars set your primes on fire?
Do you know what? I was going to say, it's so YA, this series. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Scary Movie-esque
I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, I know what you did last
writing.
Yeah, exactly.
A
that.
Tortuous YA
it's
story.
So, but this book was huge. Like, it was a really big YA phenomenon.
So was 50 Shades.
Also true.
I know, but this is also absolutely has, you know, takes on like the now the two things that we've never had more of in TV, as I've already mentioned, rich. Privileged white people in their massive, either massive mansions, huge private islands.
It's always on islands. So like do you remember The Perfect Couple?
Yes. And Thingy, the one you mentioned, you know, on Netflix that's on at the moment, you were talking about in your stuff you watched.
Sirens,
private island. Who knew there were this many private islands in fucking off America, off of the American coast?
Buy us a private island, Boyd.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, go on. I'd love one. And then we could summer there.
Okay, maybe we'll hold our next live show on a private island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my
this
God,
is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The ballad of
Pilot Island.
TV.
Yeah.
So not only do you have, you know, this latest study in wealth and privileged these classes who every other TV show is about. I'm not complaining, I'm just observing. I mean, I like quite a lot of them. I mean, obviously, The White Lotus is the ultimate example of an absolutely brilliant show all about rich, privileged people going off somewhere lavish. But this has got that. So there's that thing, which is just everywhere, and this is the latest example of that. It's got the YA narration thing, which is like Dawson's Creek style. Like
it's very Dawson's Creek.
Very Dawson's Creek. And then you've got the Big Little Lies kind of structure thing where you've got something terrible has happened to one of the main characters and you don't know how and they don't know how and no one's telling and it's a big mystery and that's the whole structure of it and we're going to find out.
It's Big Little Lies meets Pretty Little Liars.
Yes.
And it's called We Were Liars.
Yes.
It's basically taking all the liar shows and combining them to one YA extravaganza.
Exactly. Having said that, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The narration is so clunky that I'm pretty sure, I didn't double check, that she kind of starts saying something in the very first scene and then she says it again about like 20 minutes later and then she says it again in the final scene. Like, it's quite repetitive and we get the idea. These things always have like flashback moments.
Too many flashbacks this has got.
She's like, you know, having dinner, she's having a flashback. Like, she's been abandoned or
something. She needs to get checked out. It's constantly flashing back.
This show, right, if it got really, really popular, I was thinking this is so ridiculous but and yet amusing at the same time. French and Saunders would do a brilliant piss take of it because there's so many elements to it that deserve to have the piss taken out of it for. That's a very well constructed sentence. Apologies. But as I say, I quite enjoyed it because it is so pulpy and stupid. And, you know, and people say, I talk about dialogue that no one speaks like that. No one speaks like any of these characters ever in any way whatsoever. They're all like, you know.
But it's also the cheesy moments between Cadence and Gat and like the gazing at each
complete.
Other.
Oh, yeah, the gazing.
Yearning so much. Yeah. Yearning.
I'm like,
so
do
much
it already.
Yeah, fucking, they didn't even kiss. Like, even like touching each other's knees.
No. Yeah, it's one point where their little ankles touch. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
An ankle touch, and there's a character who, I won't spoil it, but who, I'm trying to describe this without even spoiling it. I don't even think it's a spoiler, but I'm afraid James would think it.
Yes,
I'll
immediately shut you down.
There's one revelation behind the characters that's almost thrown away. I was like, hold on, did that just happen? Did that, you know what I'm talking about? There's only four main characters, right? The blonde guy.
Yeah.
He says something and it's like, what? Hold on.
Yeah,
I literally
that's a throwaway.
I literally rewind it.
But I was like, did I hear that right?
Yeah, right.
Am I getting what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, we got a throwaway. So I had to rewind to check that he said what he said and he had
actually, what's odd about that? Is they throw away that point, which is actually quite a good point, you know, like it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And they'll have like, you know, 20 minutes of gazing
and ankle touching.
A lot of ankle touching.
And there's loads of gratuitous shirt taking off as well. I mean, it's on a private island in summer, so, you know.
I mean, you would.
You would. Mm. You absolutely would. But as I say, it's not good, but I did have quite a lot of fun with it. I was entertained.
What's interesting is the reason this is a YA phenomenon is where it goes plot-wise, which is wild.
Oh, is it? Oh, I don't know.
Have you read ahead?
I know what happens. Yeah, I know how it ends.
Did you read the book?
And it's absolutely mad. No, I've not read the book myself.
Are you reading like last chapters of books again?
Are you reading this new habit of reading ahead?
Reading
like,
Wikipedia episode descriptions.
It's so weird. He's suddenly changed. Who are you?
I'm not going to watch the rest of this. And I'm not going to read it, but I knew this had a big...
No.
plots thing that happens, and I wanted to know what it was, so I did read what it was.
Ahead. And second time now.
Let me tell you, it's a thing.
Oh, good. So, now you've given me reason to carry on watching it.
So there are reasons to persist with this because it takes a turn. Is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
If you are enjoying the absolute apex YA-ness of this, and if you are here for it, then
YA-ness. I don't think you meant to say that.
No, I think we've now
hit weirdly appropriate.
Now. We've hit onto it now. That shows like this, they have what can only be described as massive YA-ness, and that is what it has. So yeah,
so good. And do you know what? If you hadn't laughed like that and sounded like you're dying, and I was so concerned, I was like, why is he laughing? Like we would have just completely glossed over it.
Yeah, yeah. It is true. I nearly killed him with that one. But yes,
well done, Boydo.
Massive YA-ness.
Your inadvertent joke. And
stop calling us.
It has a massive YA-ness. I don't know what to tell you.
You're kidding, Boyd.
But I'm killing Boyd. It's deliberate.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but there were points in this where the YA tropes are so extreme that it is beyond
parody. It's hilarious.
But
it is really funny. You know who the star of the show, though, for me was? Is Rahul Kohli.
Always brilliant.
He's always brilliant. He is in, listeners might recognise him from Mike Flanagan stuff.
Yeah,
he was in The Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, and The Fall of the House of Usher.
Who's he in this?
He's Gat's dad. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's good. Yeah.
He's the British guy in the middle of it all. Yeah. For whatever fucking reason.
Yeah.
So he's very funny, and it's just brilliant to have kind of a British bloke talking normally in the middle of this thing where everyone's talking in a really heightened YA manner.
Where everyone's just touching angles and jumping into water.
All their heightened YA-ness, basically. Yeah.
This one's gonna run.
Well, if you do enjoy a massive YA-ness, then We Were Liars then comes to Prime when Boydie.
It comes to Prime Video Wednesday, the 18th of June, 2025.
Fabulous. And what else have we missed this week?
Well, James, there's Murder Most Puzzling, which in many ways we could have reviewed, which is a really cozy crime. I mean, look at this. I have to show you the photo of it. This is a crime thriller, right?
Oh my God.
Based with murders and everything. And the pictures of this woman having a lovely time with a cocktail looking at the countryside. It's a Channel 5, now known officially as 5, new series. Starring Phyllis Logan as an amateur sleuth, funnily enough.
Downton Abbey.
From Downton Abbey. Mm. And she's a puzzling lady, just like Ludwig. She's the female Ludwig, basically. Oh
yeah. Very Ludwigian.
And that is on 5 on Thursday, the 9th of June, 8 o'clock. There's a new... This is exciting for me. You know how much I like Elite, the ludicrous, preposterous Spanish drama, which went on for like 8 series. It was a massive phenomenon. Well, the team behind that have got Olimpo starting on Friday, the 20th of June, 2025 on Netflix, which is set in the Pyrenees High Performance Centre for Young Athletes. Yes, indeed. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation.
Pyrenees?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I thought.
It's
very thematic.
I know, it is another near the YA-ness, yeah. And this is a very appropriate series. I would urge people, I haven't watched the show yet, but Google it, look at the trailer for this show. It's fucking hilarious. This whole show, as Elite was, is completely gratuitous chance to show sexy people naked extensively. So I guarantee you that's what will be happening in Olimpo, as you will find out if you watch the trailer. So that's that. The Waterfront. This is one we're going to do next week on Plus, I think. Because you know what
This week on Plus.
This week on Plus, even. You know what The Waterfront is?
No, what?
Guess what it's about? It's about rich people living by the coast.
Do you know what? I actually love rich people dramas, so I'm down for
Well, if you like rich people dramas, you'll be pleased to know that season 2 of The Buccaneers lands on Apple, which is also about rich people.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
The Waterfront, though, to get you excited for this one, this story, is actually written by Kevin Williamson of Dawson's Creek fame.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is his new show.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always Dawson's Creek or Waterfront. He's very water-based.
Very water-based. North Carolina. This is set in North Carolina where they filmed the creek itself. Yeah. Okay. And as James has said, The Buccaneers is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus on Wednesday, the 18th of June, 2025. People loved that show. I think we reviewed it. We didn't love it.
That was lukewarm.
You
liked it because they played Taylor Swift in it.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of, like, Bridgerton style, deliberately modern. There's more Taylor Swift in this. I've watched
five stars.
feminist period drama.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of episodes. I have to say, I liked it. I think season two is ratcheted up a bit from season one. And
Leighton Meester's also in it.
Leighton Meester's in it. She's the new character. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's the new character. She's very good. And Christina Hendricks is in it even more than she was in season one. She's given a bigger a role in this one. I think that might be it. Unless James has got something else he's found.
That's all I've got. Yeah. What is our pick of the week?
I'm going for Pushers, because I like to champion a comedy and I found it funny.
For Uranus.
Y-anus. Y-anus.
For its Y-anus, I'm going to say We Were Liars.
It's too cheesy.
It is cheesy.
It is galactically cheesy.
But it's
aware
so
of the cheese, I think.
I am circling the Y-anus, and I am going to go with We Were Liars.
That's a terrifying prospect. I don't think it's aware of its cheesiness, but anyway.
Oh, 100% I think it is. I'll fight you any day about that.
Okay. That'll be the live show. battling
that's
it
a
out.
Good fight.
Oh, God. Okay, that is it for this week's show. If you would like to follow us on social media, I'm going by this show. I'm not sure why you would, but you can at Pilot TV Pod, at Kay Ribeiro, at Boyd Hilton, and at James C. Dyer. If you have not yet booked tickets to the live show, which I'm just assuming you did when I mentioned that incredibly clear and easy to follow URL, if you haven't, then please do book tickets. Come and see us. Come and see us. It's going to be very, very exciting. Kingsplace.co.uk is the website. You can find us on there and book your tickets now.
Please come.
Please come. Please come. If only so that you can see us discuss the Y-anus on stage. And, of course, stage some kind of We Were Liars thing. We Were Liars, Lie to Me, Big Little Lie to Me. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Fantastic. We will be back in your ears on Thursday dealing with what I can only assume is that show that Boydie just mentioned. But we will also be back next week, whereupon many things are happening, because next week we have... The Bear Season 4, Squid Game Season 3, Smoke lands on Apple. I do not know. I mean, Ironheart, I think, lands on Disney Plus next week. There is going to be an assortment of embargoes.
The only one we can
these.
Definitely review is Smoke.
Yeah, there will be loads of embargoes. It'll be an embargo to death. So Who knows how we're going to navigate that, but we'll figure it out for next week's show.
Good-o.
Until then, pilot out.